Do I want to ride the moustache? Not necessarily, but I find it really impressive.
Everybody has a subconscious and conscious type, but I think you need to still be open.
Why was it Shego from Kim Possible?
Like, why were they a worm?
And then you have to ask the question, who's allowed to do it? Can the girlies say that they only date guys over 6 foot, but then you call guys who only date blondes shallow?
What's the ideas of a successful relationship and why do they have a shell necklace?
Am I putting myself in a situation where my type is not only physically attraction, but actively bad for me?
It's always that deep.
Hi, I'm Dee Salmon, and normally I am sitting, if you are watching this right now on YouTube and Spotify, normally I'm sitting across from Pip, who is the co-host of The Hookup, where we talk all things love, sex, dating, relationships. But Pip, very, very lucky, blessed girl, is probably sunning her hole right now in, I want to say Croatia. I think Croatia, I should be a better friend. I should know exactly where she is right now, but I think she's in Croatia. So I am really lucky to be sitting across from Miss Lauren French, who you, if you have listened to The Hookup for years now, you would know really well. She's always our go-to expert on a Thursday episode. But yeah, really excited to have you in the studio today, Lauren. For anyone who doesn't know who you are, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Of course. Hi, hello. Lovely to be here. Yes, I am Lauren French. My pronouns are she, her. I am a sexologist and sexuality educator. I am a proud Gurdjara woman. I'm from up north in the NT. I've been down here in the freezing cold today. Very jealous of Pip sunning the hole at the moment. That's not what we're doing. We're frosting holes.
Literally.
Literally.
I think it's 11 degrees max today, which, yeah, I don't know where you're listening from. But I hope it's not that cold.
I hope it's not. So I am a sexologist. I work clinically at an amazing service here in Melbourne in Brunswick East. I have worked in the space of like sexual violence for the past 8 years in preventative spaces and in education for the past 8 years. So love talking about sex and relationships, which is why I think we're such good friends.
I know. And because you are just so brilliant at it. I also want to introduce you right now as well to the producer that will be working on The Hookup for the next 6 weeks, who I think Pip and I have mentioned quite a bit already. Camille Allen. Camille, just come say hi quickly. Show your face.
Hello. I've been reading all your DMs.
Yeah, she's on Instagram, so she'll be replying to you. But you're going to hear from Camille over the next 6 weeks as well. So just wanted to let her be able to say hi to you.
Hello, I'm so grateful to be here. I've been eating stale sushi for the last 3 days. So I'm so happy to have a job.
She's happy to have some income coming in. No. She's brilliant. Camille is also brilliant and going through a really hard time right now in a breakup. So there's going to be a lot of content that she's going to give to the show.
I'm coming back in. So if you have been listening for the last couple of weeks, I did produce the When Will He Say I Love You episode. He said I love you and then he broke up about 2 weeks later.
Yeah, good, good.
Lots of content.
So I'm like, watch this space. We're going to have to do a breakup episode. We will get to the breakup episode, but today we are going to be talking about types. Do we have types in dating and sex and relationships? And what are the different things that people are looking for in their quote-unquote type? Is it personality, looks, maybe lifestyle, careers? Are they a little bit just like your dad? we want to explore if they're unconscious or they're conscious. You're making like an absolute conscious decision. Maybe you're swiping on the apps and you're like only over 6 foot. And yeah, whether or not it can ever be problematic if having a certain type that you go for is something that, yeah, is a bit of a red flag.
Something we're a bit concerned about.
Something
maybe.
That we're a bit concerned about. So yeah. Really, really great app that we're about to get into. So let's do it. So as per usual, we put up a poll on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup. If you're not already following, this is where you can find us. And we asked you, do you have a type? 63% of you said yes and 37% of you said no. Are you surprised by that, Lauren?
I'm a little bit because I think I actually thought the yes was going to be greater. Like I thought more people were going to say they have a type. Particularly in this kind of day and age of dating apps and really curating our dating life, this idea of I'm looking for a particular type of person, I feel is what most people are doing. So I almost wonder, do people that are doing that not think that's a type?
Or are they unsure? Have they ever reflected on their past and been like, hold on.
Yeah.
If I'm like swiping and I'm only going for someone who is a doctor or I'm only going for someone who looks a certain way or, you know what I mean? Like people might not be, because I just assume everyone has a type. That's kind of where I'm coming from. from. Yeah. I, by the end of this episode, I think what I will try and prove is that, like, on some level, we have a type, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah.
Do you think you have one?
Well, this is the funny thing where probably I didn't, but when I was younger, so I think in like high school, I feel everyone, my friends, people around me gave me the type. And the type was Lauren dates really tall guys. This was the type that was placed on me. I think I dated two guys at this point. Yes, they were both over 6'3". So yes, they were tall. But I think once that was placed on me, it was like then my social circles when I was out at parties or when I went to uni, the thing was, oh, you'd be good for Lauren because you're tall.
Because you're tall.
And so it became almost like it's not that I was curating my dating life, but my social circle was. And look, have I now married a 6 foot six man? Yes, I have. So like maybe the type thing is correct. But again, it wasn't something that I was like, I'm only going to look for. Like I didn't exclude anyone that wasn't, but the people that were like thrusted upon me.
Well, this is the thing is once people decide like, oh, this is the type that you go for, mm-hmm. then they're going to try and matchmake you with that person. Mm. I feel like I had a similar thing, but I probably was more self-aware of my type. It was very, when I was younger in particular, it was very, very obviously the surfy guy with the long hair who didn't have a phone, yeah, was just like full free spirit, go with the flow,
Chad
hippie.
With a shell necklace.
Yep. Shell necklace. This is me growing up by the beach at all times. And so I feel like that just continuously was my type. Mm. And then, yeah, friends like obviously clocked onto that. And it was always like, oh, that guy's, you know, when you go out clubbing or to the bar or whatever, like people would be able to be like, that's very D. So I was so hyper aware of my type. And then I think going into my like later 20s, I was consciously trying to unlearn my type because I realized that they weren't that great for me, which we're going to get into. We're going to talk about when your type is probably someone that isn't the best person for you. But we also wanted to know from you on our Instagram what your types were. And there were very clear distinctions. Like people were either like they went for the physical or the looks or they went for the career. So under physical, we had Joel who said, my type is blonde, brunette.
Those two things are different,
I'm like,
Joel.
Very different. It's like either blonde or brunette.
Yeah.
If you're a redhead, God forbid. At least my height. Slim, not athletic kind.
What does slim, not athletic mean?
I don't know. It's very particular.
That's very, like look, that's a little heroin chic-y.
That's giving like, yeah, you have to be skinny but not bulky. Ooh, yep. Not muscly. Kind, non-smoker, funny.
Joel, I have such a question. Do you mean funny like you think they are a funny person or that like they laugh at your jokes?
Jokes. Sometimes I think people say funny and they just want you to be able to laugh with them.
Yeah.
Chloe, tall, dark and handsome. I mean, that's just a classic, isn't it, Chloe? Acacia saying man buns, a sexy moustache and tattoos.
Instead of a non-sexy moustache.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, I think we all know what that looks like.
Look, I love a moustache that can, like, when it gets to an impressive moment, like when it's either long enough that they're doing like wild little things with it, because it's like there's just a shaking head back of the camera.
Camille's like, no.
But more, I'm impressed by it. Do I want to ride the moustache? Not necessarily, but I find it really impressive.
You're like, you have dedicated
that is
yourself
time.
To grooming, and I like that. I like a man that is...
Maybe it's the value of dedication I'm actually enjoying there, and the moustache is just the
and
visual
representation of it. And valuing grooming and looking after yourself and caring what you look like. I like that too. Tim saying big hairy bear dudes.
Completely fair, Tim.
Yep, completely fair. Kate, big dicks. That's all she wrote. Just big dicks.
Yeah, but like I can buy a big dick. Like what? like anyone can buy a big dick.
Also, how do you know? How are you being able to tell?
Because are we talking about big dick energy?
True.
Or are you basing it off that? Or is it actually, no. And then what is a big dick?
Because are you like attracted to people and then as soon as you get into bed and it's not big, you're like, oh, well, you're not my type.
And again, also what is big? Like, have you ever seen the things where it's like-
when a grower.
But also when you read a book and it's like, oh, they're 10 inches. But then when you actually put 10 inches against your head, it's like, that's a lot. And so what do you mean by big?
I need more answers, Kate.
I need a measurement.
I want to know how it's actually practically happening for you. Tali saying, type for me is very superficial. Strictly looks. I've dated out of my type though. My type is just attraction. So they're going like, if I'm not attracted to you, then absolutely not. Paul saying, smart athletic girls with long brown hair. And I mean ducks level smart. Okay, so for some people, it isn't just looks. It's about their intelligence. Indy saying twink guys, emo girls. Yeah, we had a few people DM who were like, if they're more femme, they're looking for mask, which totally makes sense in queer spaces as well. But also very hetero too. If you're like, I want, like, I've had friends that are like, their type is very specific. They want the like country farmer guy that can like build things with his hands. You know what I mean? They want that like very like outback aesthetic. Delilah saying adventurous nerd.
Adventurous nerd.
That's also very specific.
Do you like adventure within a D&D space, or you mean you want someone who's like giving you facts on a hike?
I think maybe
those are two different adventurous nerds.
I think it's like,
I don't mind a fact on a hike.
We also got this voice memo from Hedy, who said for them it was less about the looks and more about the personality.
I totally have a type, but it's not at all related to race or ethnicity or heritage or anything like that. That's kind of problematic. Yeah, my type is sarcastic, smart, funny, and that comes from people of all shapes and sizes. You can be my type. It's just personality and connection.
I love that.
Yeah.
I do think that sometimes, and we'll get into this in the episode, that like you might have a specific look, right?
Yeah.
But then you date that look or you sleep with that look and they're all very, like for me, I'm thinking about my past with the surfers and the long hair, all very different personalities. Mm. And some you realize actually are more attracted to this type of personality.
Yeah.
So then if you wanted to get really specific, you're trying to then narrow down your look plus the type of personality, which makes your chances a lot slimmer. You know what I mean?
And I think we're also just really putting people into like a really narrow box of you have to be this particular aesthetic, this personality, this sort of thing. And it's really shopifying dating and people. From that voice note, it's also about what do we value? Because like I'm actually attracted to it and I'm like trying to find someone who shares a value with me, and whether that is humor, whether that is intellect, whether that is, you know, understanding of global news and circumstances. I'm like meeting a value need here, which is also an attraction need.
Yeah. And someone who potentially is not only just like intelligence, but emotionally intelligent. And this was something that Brendan sent us a voice memo about.
I really admire people who want to make the most of life and aren't afraid to put themselves out there. And more importantly than anything, someone who's self-aware and comfortable about being real with themselves, including their flaws, because that's where I feel that real connection comes from, being able to be vulnerable with who we are and what we are and what we're doing in life as well.
Marie reckons she doesn't have a type, but then goes on to describe a bit of a type.
I don't have a type, and I think that's a great thing. It doesn't really restrict you to one type of person. In terms of personality, I would say there's certain things I look for. If I'm around someone and they just radiate a good energy before even talking to them, I find that I'm naturally drawn to want to talk to that person. And it's not to do with looks either. Like if they just have that warm presence, I find that I'm attracted to it. Looking back at my partners, I honestly don't think there's much similarity in terms of their looks at all. There's definitely similarities in some good things and some bad things, but I think that not having a type is actually a positive thing.
This is why I think when we had that poll, Lauren, and it said 63% of people said that they have a type, and we were like, oh, I think it should be larger. I think people think of type as looks.
Yeah, it's kind of just the aesthetic space. And so if you're not going, it has to be height or hair color or, you know, build or that sort of thing, then it doesn't create a type.
And what I'm hearing from Marie and like a few of you now is just like, okay, yeah, you might not have a specific type of person look wise, but there's definitely an energy or a type personality wise that you are kind of leaning more towards.
Yeah.
And kind of like Lauren said with the value thing. And this is proven in research. So researchers at the University of Toronto tracked 332 adults over 9 years, having each person and their romantic partners complete the Big Five personality test, which measures openness, conscientiousness, agreeableness, extroversion, and neuroticism. And what it found was that people were gravitating to the same type consistently. And that was looks, job, vibes, or even personality. So I think when people are saying like, oh, I don't have a type, maybe they aren't digging deep or really unpacking and reflecting on the maybe the vibes or the personality or the like the quote unquote type of person that they're going for that isn't just looks.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people just haven't done any reflection on it. Like even if you do say you have a type, like have we actually had a moment, had a bit of reflection, had a thought of going, why is this my type? What do I think is going to happen when I meet this image of this person? And why have I decided this was the image? You know, we can go to the dad moment, but we can also go to like, you know, what's the media I grew up with? What's the ideas I had? You know, what's the ideas of a successful relationship, and why do they have a shell necklace?
That's probably, do you know what? It is probably because I watched like
H2O just
at Yeah, actually though, like seriously. But this was another thing that we heard from you in the DMs was that like a lot of you have had a type that's been shaped your whole life, right? Based off of something that you read or watched or had a first crush on. So we asked you, have you had the same type your whole life? 38% of you said yes. 62 said no. Do you feel like there was something maybe, Lauren, that you watched or saw or like learnt from in childhood that then shaped a bit of your type other than height?
Other than just tall people.
Just tall people.
I think within that kind of early, you know, early 2000s media space was just a lovely whirlpool of great representation. Across the board, we'll say. But I think for me, when I was kind of consuming all of that media, and I was a big reader, so I think very much sort of, you know, basing this idea of, you know, the people I was attracted to, again, less on physicality, height aside, and very much on a personality of like very, again, dry humor, or like ideas of people that were very much around like trying to be supportive. Because again, if you're like looking at a book character, they're like often trying to support you. But that's probably where I went towards. And I think for a lot of people, they would have seen like particular ideas or tropes in media, whether it's like a prince kind of idea, or even like, I feel like the cool guy at school trope.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
they always were kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like intelligence wasn't quite the first attribute on the rung, but great hair was up there.
I would get people to interrogate, right? Like who were your earliest crushes or who did you really love in movies or in books? Like what's your favorite movie and why? And if there's a relationship happening or some sort of tension around love, like who was that and has that emulated?
And why were they animated?
Yeah.
Why was it Shigo from Kim Possible?
You're like, why were they a worm? No, but it's so true. It's like, this is kind of where we might, as well as obviously our parents, which we're going to get into, like the family that we grew up with. But I think mine was Peter Pan, right? And it's like, there's a bit of a link there to the boy that doesn't want to grow up and the surfer who doesn't have a phone or a job. And just goes with the flow.
The ocean
is never, never land. Like, I think there's a bit of a link there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, mine's very much like a Mulan moment, which as a bisexual person is such a classic there of like, I want to be this person in all spaces of this.
Well, research actually backs this as well.
Just to go back to research.
No, we know that just even from years of doing this show, how much culture and family and what's familiar to you plays such a huge part. Like research does show that you are more likely to date someone that is someone you've grown up with or are familiar with, or you've like culturally become like comfortable with. It's reflected for you growing up. And also another thing that we found was that, which is something we've spoken about on the hookup before, is like Darwin's theory of evolution and sexual selection. You are more likely to pick someone who you see on your level or just above or just below. So it's like if you think you're an 8, you're more likely to go for an 8, 9 or 7. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably reflected in our types as well. So yeah, thinking about that and thinking about your cultural context, what you've grown up with, what you're familiar with, whether it's like the society you're in or your family, the dynamics that you saw play out with your parents, your attachment type. This is where I want to get into where it can be problematic, right? Right. This was a voice memo that we got from Nina.
I'm ethnically a Vietnamese woman, born and raised in Western Sydney. I grew up watching Disney, Home Alone, Casper, and I was convinced I was going to marry Nick from the Backstreet Boys. All of these heroes in the stories I was being fed were strong white men. I've never seen men of my ethnicity or any Asian male for that matter as attractive. I picture that exchange student from 16 Candles, that dweeby, sexually inept foreign male character. I think being exposed to this type of media early on, as well as a little bit of racial bullying, really shaped that white is associated with beauty, ability and attraction, whereas yellow is associated with nerdy, being weak, being socially awkward and inept. Do I have a type? Yes, absolutely. Is it problematic? Yes, but not in the way that you might think. I've put men, particularly white men, on a pedestal because someone like me was never represented, and I felt so lucky and so grateful that a white man was able to find me, someone who's nerdy, weak, socially awkward, as attractive, and it probably shifted the power dynamics in that relationship.
What are your thoughts on that, Lauren?
Hella reflective, Nina. First, look at you go. You've done some work.
Absolutely. You can hear it.
Yeah. But I would 100% agree, like, as much as I go to the Mulan reference, which, as, you know, someone who has, like, a Chinese Aboriginal background, like, when I was looking for people growing up, most of the heroes are white. Most of the love interests are white. And I think this is where, when you get people who are almost sitting in that space of, yeah, I've got a type. Yes, it's racial. But, like, it's not problematic because it's just what I'm attracted to. I feel a lot of the times where we haven't interrogated that, we haven't actually asked ourselves that question. And I think the bit I would pull out that's so important that Nina just said was, you know, I'm so lucky that this white guy has an interest in me. And as she said, that power dynamic of going, well, now I'm just going to take whatever is given to me because actually, like, wow, you're this, like, way higher than me kind of person, which when we're going into a dating space of that, that power imbalance is going to have an impact, like, sexually, both, you know, in the social situations we're going to go into. We might end up in spaces that really aren't fully consensual because we're just going, wow, I'm just so lucky to be here. And that's not where we want to be in relationships. And I don't think that's a space that's going to feel really safe or secure for a relationship, just to be like, wow, I'm just so glad this person is, like, slumming it with me.
Absolutely. And I think if you are listening in Australia, depending on your cultural circles and where you are living, we have embedded racism in this country and you can't not acknowledge that. And I think that, yeah, for people who maybe are like, oh, I don't have a type, I would interrogate, like, okay, well then who are you potentially swiping on and who are you not swiping on? Mm. And is there a level of unconscious bias, racism that's happening? Because, like, we've been talking about, like, all the movies and shows that we've grown up watching, like Nina said, all have this, like, white man as the Prince Charming, right? Like, the guy, the savior.
The classic white savior.
And I think research also shows something that we talked about on The Hookup before, that on dating apps, Asian men are the least swiped upon person and Black women are the least swiped upon person. Yeah. On dating apps.
And I think this is where the type goes from both a problematic from, like, an exclusionary space as well as a fetishization space. And, like, for me, when I first moved to Melbourne, like, big city life, was going out at uni and getting hit on, and I would have people come up to me and their pickup line was, oh, I've got wild yellow fever at the moment, so I would, like, love to take you home or, like, love to chat to you. And they would, like, say it as if I was going to be, oh my God, I'm so glad you've said that, as if I was going to be really flattered that this person knows nothing about me and they've put me in a fetishized box of, oh, you're, like, Asian of something, so I've got yellow fever, so great, this is perfect for me.
What do you think, Lauren, about people who are like, I just like what I like? You know what I mean? Like, I sometimes will hear people be like, oh, I just really like Asian women and that's just my type. What do you think about this idea that, like, it's not that deep and I just like what I like?
It's always that deep. Like, it's always that deep. And I think if you're sitting in a space going, oh, you know, being very flippant about it, I feel it's two things. One, are you being flippant about it because you're in a position of power, not part of that ethnic group or that often minority group? And so you're in this position of going, it's not that big a deal, even though you're creating and helping create a culture that, you know, not to get super downer about it, but can really help lead to violence against those people and in those groups, as well as, like, huge stigma and shame. And this idea that, you know, if we're fetishizing a group, we're saying that we're only viewing them in a sexual lens. So then everything about them becomes sexual and it really limits, you know, where we can see them in media as well as just, like, in our social spaces. And in the same time, this idea of if we're putting a group as non-sexual, like we talk about the fact that lots of Asian men are kind of, like, the lowest group that are looked at in dating apps. Well, then what does it mean if you're someone who is dating an Asian man?
Yeah.
What does that mean socially? What does that mean if we're, as a society, we've decided this person isn't sexual, isn't attractive, isn't someone that we would be looking towards? Well, then what are we telling the people that are dating those people?
And also it comes back to the values thing you were talking about, right? There's a difference between being like, my type is a doctor, because you might be then at the end of the day saying that you value someone who's dedicated 7 to 10 years to study. You value someone who works really hard. You value someone who works in maybe a space that, or a field that you work in or you really value. And that to me, I'm like, I understand why someone might have a type that's like a career or like a dynamic at play or a value system compared to being like, I like this look in a person that is tied up in their ethnicity or cultural race, right? Yeah.
And I think with the career stuff as well, though, there's still that sort of space of like, again, interrogate why. If you're with a doctor, what does that mean? What does that mean about you? What does that mean about your social standing? What will, you know, what will your family view you as if you're with a doctor? Even something like silly, what line is the doctor? Like, are you like podiatrist? Sure.
Yeah.
Like PhD haver? Sure. Doctor. Like, or are you going, no, I've got this idea of someone who works in a hospital or has this sort of thing. Is it a clout space or is it just that I've decided my life is going to be absolutely incredible if I'm with a doctor?
Yeah. Or my family wanted me to be with someone that was like from this education, intelligent background or whatever.
Or it's like about security.
Yeah.
This idea that, well, if you're a doctor, that's actually about like financial security and income. And what I'm actually like drawn towards is this idea of security.
And stability.
And stability.
Yeah. Well, we asked you on our Instagram, we said, do you think having a type is problematic? 29% of you said totally fine, 8% said problematic, and 63% of you said depends on that type, which I think is what we're trying to unpack here.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a few of you that were like, yep, absolutely, it's problematic. And this was what Lee said.
What gets a little bit tricky or restrictive is when someone's type has nothing to do with who someone is as a person. Like, how is someone's height or eye color going to determine if you get along, if you have the same political opinions or the same sense of humor? And then you have to ask the question, who's allowed to do it? Can the girlies say that they only date guys over 6 foot, but then you call guys who only date blondes shallow? And then where do you draw the line at what becomes fetishizing someone when it comes like to ethnicity or body type? Like, yes, physical attraction is important, but then we sort of have to give some room to reflect on what is something that we're told either socially or subconsciously that we're quote unquote supposed to prefer versus what is actually something important for us to seek in a partner.
Lee, honestly, incredibly sad.
Go off.
Go off, Lee. That was so well articulated. And it made me think as well, just on dating apps and the kind of way that she's framed it. It's true. It's like not even just about ethnicity or race or it's like also like bodies. Like we've already heard from people who are like, oh, I like slim and athletic. And it's like, okay, so you don't like someone who's in a bigger body.
Mm.
And that's just also, where's that coming from? Like it's also adding to the world that we live in that is fat phobic.
100%. And again, it's this idea of like, what does that tell everyone around you? Like I remember when I was doing a lot of education work in schools and I was working with some year nine boys. Absolutely the best cohort of young people. No sarcasm. They're incredible because this can be so set in ideas. But then when you actually like start to interrogate the ideas, you start to see all of the influence that are around them. And when we were talking about, it was like an activity where we were like unpacking, what do you bring to a relationship? What do you want a partner to bring to a relationship? And they were, it was very much a space of aesthetics. I want them to be hot. And I was like, cool. What does that mean? Who gets to decide that your partner's hot? And the consensus was my friends.
Right.
And so then I was like, okay, but like, so what about you finding them hot? And that was not at all as important as their friends finding their partner hot. Because again, it wasn't actually about necessarily their attraction or who they wanted to be with. It was the idea of the social standing. I'm with someone that everyone else thinks is hot. And I feel this idea of the slim, athletic, this, you know, we live in such a fat phobic space that again, if I want everyone around me to think that I'm in a great relationship, I'm really set up, then actually I might be thinking about what everyone else thinks of my partner more than I'm thinking about what I think of my partner.
That is so true. And that's why, yeah, if you think about certain stereotypes that play out with the types of like the really rich guy with the model girlfriend or like it's like they're stereotypes for a reason, right? Because they care about what that shows or tells the world about them.
Yeah.
As much as we have been talking about potential ways it is problematic, we did have a few people who were like, I don't think it's problematic at all. And we got this voice memo from Grace about that.
Having a type is not problematic at all. I think it's the same as being attracted to someone. At least for me, it would be really hard to fall in love with someone I wasn't attracted to. In the same way as that, be really hard to fall in love with someone who wasn't my type.
What do you think, Lauren? I think there is a difference between type and attraction. Like, I think they're two different things.
I think a lot of the time it's set up as like conscious and unconscious, or, you know, this idea of when you're saying a type, you're creating like a shopping list in a lot of ways. And that's really like, I'm picking attributes. I'm like going through and I'm going, what's maybe important to me? What's value connected? But again, what's this image I have of my future and who's going to fit that image? Versus attraction can often be, you know, really uncontrollable. Like, I'm sure lots of people have had that moment of being like, I'm really attracted to this person. Why? And you almost have that moment of being like, what is going on out of body? Because I can't even articulate why, but wow, the attraction is palpable. And it's really not something that you're thinking through like a list.
That's making me think about an episode we did with Dr. Anna Machen, who was a biologist. He's an incredible biologist, but she spoke about the fact that a lot of attraction is actually subconscious. You don't have control over it. She says it happens so quickly and it's happening on a like genetic immune system level, where like your body is going, this person genetically would reproduce really well and have the strongest quote unquote offspring. And so that's all happening subconsciously. So that's one half of attraction. And then the other half is like, oh, and then you actually meet and you chat, and then very quickly you could be like, they're really dumb, or they're not a doctor. Sorry, I keep saying the doctor thing, but I actually
don't. Or they say something politically that you're like, oh, I've never been drier. But you were attracted at first. There was like, oh, there was something, and then something happens that maybe then falls into the type category, where you go, oh, no, I can't see a future with this person, or I can't see my life with this person. So even though there was attraction there at first, we've gone, it's not fitting into my ideal.
Which is why I think they're two different things. I do think that your type is, like you said, a bit of that shopping list, but also I do think that there is a level of unconsciousness in your type too, which is maybe where I think about that familiar cultural family background. Like, I think the way that I think about it in that sense is because I feel like I'm on some level attracted to someone who's a bit hot and cold, someone who's a bit avoidant or withholds emotional affection, because that's just kind of what I was used to growing up.
Yeah. And I think as well, if you're someone who is like thinking about their type and going, oh, I'm attracted to these spaces that aren't like maybe fulfilling me in the way that I want it to, then maybe there is some work that needs to be done around attachment styles, around, you know, if we're feeling secure, particularly on, you know, where we're having really insecure attachment. Because again, you might be basing it off, what's my history? What feels familiar? And what is my brain signaling me as this is familiar and comfort, even though it's not going to bring what we're actually craving from a relationship?
Yeah. And it might not be good for you, because that was something that Monique sent us a voice memo about.
All my former partners share very similar physical characteristics, which I'm attracted to, but almost all of them have had very similar avoidant or nasty personalities where the relationship just hasn't gone well. Am I putting myself in the situation where my type is not only physically attraction, but actively bad for me? I'm not sure if I'm limiting myself, but also with dating apps, and I've been on the apps for a really long time now, it's all about looks, so I rarely swipe right on someone I'm not physically attracted to, which is potentially limiting my pool of people that I'm meeting.
I find that so relatable, of like, I felt like most of my 20s I was just chasing the avoidant guy, the emotionally unavailable guy, and I knew it's like mixed with the surfy long hair. Like I had,
they're like surfing away from you on a wave, and you're like, oh, I just want to run into the ocean with you.
I'm like, wait, come back, just love me. So like, I totally find that relatable. And then you mix that with, if you have a certain look. That's what I mean about the unconscious type.
Yeah. And I also think for some people, you know, because a lot of people, when they were talking about their type, they're talking about values, they're talking about intellect, but how funny they are, or, you know, maybe it's about politics, or maybe it's about, you know, whatever it is. And I also think, though, with this idea of, you know, when we're really leaning heavily into dating apps, we tend to be really bad at describing ourselves. Like, if I was putting myself onto a dating app, don't worry, husband, I'm not doing it. But if I was doing it and I was trying to describe myself, it would probably be completely different than my partner describes me. And if you've ever heard like partners describing each other, often the other person will be like, oh, I don't know you see me like that, or oh, I don't know it's like that. And I think if it's like, oh, I'm looking for this like funny, articulate, you know, smart, da-da-da-da person, what if I'm someone who I wouldn't say I'm that person, even though maybe I am to you? And it's really then hard to almost like, sounds awful, like sell ourselves accurately, because we're actually really bad at understanding how we are viewed by others.
That makes so much sense when you think about dating apps, because so much of a dating app, especially if you're on ones on like Hinge or whatever, and it'll be like, you know, I'm going to blah, blah, blah when XYZ. It's like very self-descriptive. Like you've got to try and sell who you are quite quickly mixed with your photos, but you've got to be like, I'm the type of person who XYZ, or my friends describe me as XYZ. And so, like you said, if you don't actually know yourself the way that you actually show up in your life, then you could be selling yourself as this person. Someone's then swiping going, oh, this person says that they're not funny, but I'm looking for funny.
Yeah. So then, but actually they're hilarious, but it's a dry humor that people go, well, they're not doing like a knock knock joke, or they're not like a stand up comic. But this idea of, well, you know, what does humor, how does humor play in your life? I think sometimes there's such a lack of like curiosity of going, well, okay, I have this value of humor. Why do I have it? And what kind of humor does that look like? And actually, the question I want to ask a partner is, how does humor play out in your world? Mm. Like, are you looking for humor in your media? Are you someone that likes to use humor because you don't like to feel sad or bad? You know, like, what does it actually look like? And I think sometimes this idea of I'm ticking boxes of a type means I just don't lean into curiosity.
Yeah, because how could you go from funny to like, you know, it's like,
yeah, like funny, ha-ha, yeah, funny, like,
what
weird.
What do you mean by funny? Do you think that dating apps have made almost like the honing in on the type, like, has it exacerbated our obsession with types because we have more of a checklist now? It's like Shopified people?
Yeah, I think it's definitely Shopified. And I think it makes it almost, if you want to get quote unquote good at dating apps, then it's almost like, yeah, I need a real niche type. It's almost like if you're trying to get into like social media spaces or something and someone's like, you need a niche, you need your like little area. I feel it's almost the same. They go, oh, there's so much, like there's so many people on dating apps. It also becomes a bit of the like, I can't even pick because it's overwhelmed.
Choice overload.
So then if I go, well, actually I'm looking for this like tiny, tiny little percentage of people, that's going to make my life easier. When actually I also am putting people in boxes and only seeing, you know, I'm seeing elements of you, I'm seeing parts of you, I'm not seeing you as a whole person, which then is also like detrimental to me as the person dating, because I'm not giving myself that opportunity.
And allowing yourself to find attraction that is, we know, a subconscious in just your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
What do you think about, I have this theory that sometimes your type can genuinely just be anyone who's not my ex. Like you'll be like burnt in life.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, I'm never dating an architect again, or I'm never dating.
Yeah. I will live in a terrible home just so I will never date an architect.
Like I will never. I will never. Camille's laughing because maybe that's a breakup. I like, as much as I love my surfy man, like I will never date someone who isn't career driven now, because I've been on the other side of that.
Yeah.
And Lucy sent us this DM saying, I would not date someone who's religious because I grew up in a religious Christian environment. And personally for me, religion is a turnoff, that people are less open-minded and less accepting of different views. I don't force my atheism on other people, and I find even tolerant religious people still cling to their faith or somewhat impose it on elements of their life. It can work. I do have friends who are in interfaith relationships, but for me, it's an absolute no. There's always a level of misogyny attached to faith.
Mm.
I do get the you've been burnt.
Yeah.
And you don't want to, like... So for me, a part of me thinks like that's fair, and then another part of me is like, are you boxing people? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel it also becomes a bit there around the value.
Yeah.
Because I think if I'm going, I just don't want someone that's like my ex, I think that can lean into almost like I'm trying to find a palate cleanser. Like I'm trying to find someone just to like palate cleanse my vibe. I'm going to get a real grunge alt person.
The complete opposite.
The complete opposite to the surfer. Just to like palate cleanse this idea, quote unquote. And then I think that can be an issue separately, only because you're literally using that person as a way of going, I actually just need to get out of my like rut or vibe, and then I'm going to either go back to it or go somewhere else, but this is purely just to like really hard pivot me.
Yeah, and similar to like the religious thing that Lucy was saying, yeah, I do. It's like I think the boxing, like I understand it, but I think the boxing thing can be a little bit quote unquote problematic sometimes. Mm. And this was something that Kaylin sent us a voice memo about.
Everybody has a subconscious and conscious type, but I think you need to still be open and not box yourself into a specific type. It becomes a really big problem though when people think that their type is a specific ethnicity and they can fetishize that person and that race or ethnicity or culture. culture, for example, and they can also exclude people from that, which is extremely problematic in general, but also on a personal level, you're just discounting people for traits they don't have any control of, and you're also not thinking about the fact that that person might be a perfect fit for you in so many other ways.
Which is why I wonder, like, when it comes to maybe the stereotype or the ideas we're placing on people, maybe we should interrogate that a bit more and be a bit more open to dating outside of our types.
Yeah, and I think that idea of, you know, when we've, as they kind of just said, you know, like putting people in a really clear box, you know, almost take that second to ask yourself, what box would I put me in? And if I put myself in a really, you know, narrow box, what are all the pieces that I'm losing and that someone would never know about me? And I think, you know, when we say we want to exclude people, and sometimes we go, yeah, I've had a really bad experience with religious groups or these sort of spaces. Again, the question I would ask is, okay, well, what's the value here I'm trying to find? Is it that if someone's religious, and I'll just say there's so many different religions, so like, what does that look like? But hey, if you're a religious person in a way that I was, and I've had a really negative experience with it, okay, what's the value I've taken from that? What kind of, you know, family or life do I want to lead? And how do I see that religion is not working with that? And if you are talking to someone who's then religious, going, okay, well, this is my value, where does that land for you? Because maybe your values don't align, because you know, and maybe that is actually completely fine for you in that moment. But in that same way, if I ticked a box that said all religious people I'm not going to talk to, what would that do for my life?
We also got this voice memo from Sophie.
Yes, we all have one, but it's whether or not you're choosing to be bound by this when you're dating, like limiting yourself by only actively dating within a set pool of traits. That's so detrimental, because then you're overlooking or missing out on certain groups of people or opportunities. And on dating apps, people are so oddly specific. It makes you spiral, because you start thinking, like, what's wrong with me? Why do I not fit the mold? For me personally, it's always going to be personality over aesthetic. And I think ultimately it's better to go for substance over something that will eventually fade.
Yeah, I do think that it's been interesting to hear that some people are really self-aware and they understand why they go for certain people and what's playing there, what's playing into that dynamic. Like Danielle saying, I hate having a type. I really struggle to be attracted to those outside of it. That doesn't fit it. And Dom saying, a type is just a person's list of relationships that didn't work out. So maybe a type is what to avoid.
Dom's having a moment. Dom's like red wine in hand, just like writing like, down this
fucking
moment.
Hell. Which, okay, so I kind of do think, I kind of understand where Danielle's coming from, right? Like it's like sometimes you might have the awareness, right? You've done the therapy, you've done the unpacking, but you just can't help what it is that you are looking for in a partner. What do you think about that, Lauren? Like, where do you see this best case scenario for people?
I think, you know, if you are this person who goes, yep, look, I've done all the work and I just like what I like, you're that person, then having some real space to go, okay, cool, you've done the work, you like what you like, you're chatting with someone, and really go, if while you're talking to them, your whole brain is just going, tick yes, tick no, yes, nah. Then going, okay, well, how present am I in this moment? How much am I giving of myself for this person? And maybe, okay, what time do I give it to really go, I'm just trying to meet this individual, know them as a whole person. In the end of the day, you might still not feel super attracted, might not want to date them, completely, totally fine. Maybe the question is, how soon are you pulling the jump cord? Like, how soon are you going, nah, this person's not for me? Is that when you've like looked at them, when you've like seen a photo? Or is it after a conversation, after having a moment to actually go, what do you like as a human outside of your eye color, hair color, height, and job?
Totally. And like we've been saying throughout this app, like values should play a huge part in who you're picking, right? So if your type is based off your values, then absolutely.
And that's going to need a conversation.
Yeah, you're going to need, it doesn't matter like what that person looks like, what that person does for a job. Like, and this is stuff that we've heard a lot on The Hookup. Like if you are aligned with like what you want for your futures, for your values, like you have similar interests and hobbies, like you have similar ideas about like how to, how to raise a family. If that's what you want, whatever it is, like you are probably more likely to have a successful relationship.
100%. And I would also say that sometimes we think we need the same. And having a shared value doesn't necessarily mean you have a shared experience. And like, so for an example, you might have a shared value that like for you, ambition is important. Adding value to community is important. And for you, that's about work. And so your job, your work, your career is really driven in this idea of giving back, contribution, making a difference. You might have someone and a potential partner who totally is aligned with that value, but work is not the place they put that in. And their work is actually just an avenue to live their life and have balance, and they give back in community ways and in other ways. And you might be going, oh, well, they're not super ambitious in their work. Their work doesn't do XYZ. So they're not meeting this value, when actually they 100% could be, but how you've taken the value might be different.
And what you've learned growing up maybe with, the place you were raised.
Yeah.
And it could have been like you go to uni, you marry someone who goes, has this level of education and wealth and status in society. And then you're like looking down on quote unquote, like, or like not like seeing people who aren't living in that life as like you're not valuing them. But they could, like you said, have the same ambition in different places.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, sometimes I think we go, what's the same value, rather than going like, what's a complementary space? Like who's someone who actually like complements us and our world? And, you know, like for me, I'm someone who's always been really career driven, really want to make a difference, really want to like go out and make my mark on the world. I really value that. But at the same time, it's amazing having a partner who's also really putting emphasis on my well-being, my support, valuing. And if they were someone who was also trying to go out there and change the entire world, like no one's going to change the sheets.
Who's
going to be done? But I'm going to burn out. They're going to burn out. No one's going to have support in anything.
No one's going to have emotional support.
So also, where's your complementary spaces? You know, sometimes you are really different than your partner, but it's because you complement each other.
Which I think boils down to knowing yourself well, knowing what works dynamic wise. And I think that's where I've kind of landed with this ep. It's like, I think that we will all kind of have a type, but your type to me is the unconscious dynamics at play that you don't really realize is happening. And I think that I'm never going to be attracted to someone who is the golden retriever because that's just how I'm wired and that's just how I've been raised and that's the dynamic. But it's about like, knowing that and then finding all the ways that that person can complement me in the relationship that isn't like strictly, even though my partner does have long hair, I will say, he isn't a surfer. So it's like I've broken.
And he's never allowed to touch a surfboard.
I don't think he physically could, to be honest. He's too big. He's tried it. It's not a thing. Yeah. Where do you sit? What's your conclusion, do you reckon? Like,
I think for me, it's about going, yes, we're going to have people that we're attracted to. Yes, it is that deep. And like, let's do some look at our biases and, you know, how we are in a world that is like so putting on assumptions and pressures on everyone. So soz, you got to do the work. But I also think, you know, it's also a problem if it becomes everything about your dating space. Like, as I said, I think my big thing is lean on curiosity. And if the only thing that you're bringing to a dating app or to a date or to a conversation with someone is this checklist of type, then we've lost curiosity. And so I think that's what I would want us to focus on. Not that you feel like you can't have a type or you have to intentionally never date someone that you're attracted to, probably not helpful either, but leaning into curiosity.
I love that. Lauren, it's been such a pleasure.
It's been fun.
It really it's just so nice having someone who's very, very, very wise and qualified. And I don't know. It's just like, not compared to Pip.
You heard it here first, everyone. Pip, stay overseas.
Stay overseas.
My seat now.
No, I just think like I'm here like going bing bong and like Pip and I together are like bing bong. And then you step into the room and you're like, let me tell you values. And
I just bing bong in a really professional voice.
Exactly.
I bing and I bong. It's really different.
Exactly. Thank you, Lauren. This has been so fun.
Thanks, Dee. Thanks for having me.
All right. And as per usual, you can find us on Instagram at Triple J The Hookup. Please DM us any of your thoughts, hot takes, if you've changed your mind about, you know, maybe when we first posted about this episode, maybe, you've realized some things. We want to hear from you. If there's any other topic suggestions, maybe this is like, you know, inspired another topic you want us to cover, please, please, please DM us and let us know. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.